Welcome, everybody, and thanks for joining us. Before we get started, I want to let you know that we're going to have an interactive Q&A at the end of the presentation. So please enter your questions into the chat, and now we'll get started. So I want to start off with a story that's familiar to many of you. You've built an application, and maybe this application is helping connect people who need products and groceries with those who can provide it. So you built your app, and now you've got it, and you're proud of it, and you want to get that up onto a website. So what do you need? You start with your code, and then you need to push that up to GitHub. Pretty easy. And when it pushes to GitHub, you want to make sure it gets deployed everywhere around the web so everybody can get to it. So you want CI/CD to make sure you get the continuous deployment and build of your application out to the web. Well, now you've got your HTML, JavaScript, and CSS up on different websites being served, but now you also need data. So maybe you want your APIs to be served in serverless functions like Azure functions. And those might be on different places in the web. So now we need routing between the serverless APIs and the HTML and JavaScript that you have up in the websites. So we need to have that control. We also want to have SSL certificates, and because you might bring your own custom domain with you. I know I would. So we want to set up that security. We also want to know that the users that come to our site are who they say they are. So authentication is really important, as well as authorization. We want to make sure that users can have different roles in their applications so they can do just what we want them to do and nothing more. And of course, probably the most important is we want global scale. Make sure that our app is deployed in multiple regions around the world. Whoa, you just wanted to publish your web application that you probably built in your favorite JavaScript framework like Angular, or maybe you like React, or maybe the new kid in the block, Svelte.js, or perhaps Vue, or maybe Gatsby or Hugo. The point is you get to choose in the modern world of what JavaScript framework you want to use and bring to the table. So that's why we want to make sure that you can build your applications. Now, in this modern JavaScript world, we run npm run build to build our apps. We no longer wait for requests to go to a server, the server processes it, and comes back to the client. Now we just run npm run build, some process runs, and then at design time, it builds all of our static assets. We call these static because they don't change once we develop these and build them. Our HTML, our JavaScript, and our CSS just get hosted, and then when a user hits it, it lights up our websites. This is a new way of developing websites that we've come across in the last 10 years. And we need a new type of service that fundamentally does it the way that we build our apps. So introducing Azure Static Web Apps. Hi, my name's John Papa, and today we're going to build a static web app in minutes. So what are Azure Static Web Apps? At their heart, you get to build and host your static web applications. And something really important is just out of the box, you get authentication and authorization built into your app. You can optionally choose APIs that are powered by Azure Functions. And one of my favorite parts is you get CI/CD powered by GitHub Actions. So how does this work? That's a great question. So you've got your application. Let's say it's built in Svelte.js. And your application could be put inside of a folder. Maybe it's in your repo under an app folder. And then maybe you have your Azure Functions for your APIs in an API folder. Well, then naturally, you'll eventually push or make a pull request up to GitHub to push that code. And this is where the GitHub action is triggered. This triggers a workflow which will build your assets with npm run build, the same thing we always use. And then once it's there, it'll automatically deploy those static assets up to our static content in Azure, and it deploys our Azure functions up into an API. And collectively, this is known as static web apps. And then when your users go to hit it, they've got global scale because it's deployed to at least 5 servers and regions around the world. So we just talked about what it does, but let's go see this in action. So first, with our demo, we're going to deploy an application, and then we're going to deploy the application's API. We'll do it separately so we can see each step. And then we're going to come back and show how we can enable authorization and authentication with route-based control. But let's start the same place we all start. And that's with your code up on GitHub. Let's go. So here we have an application that I've pulled down into VS Code. That application came from a GitHub repository called Hello Build right here. Notice that we have an Angular app, a React app, a Svelte app, and a Vue app in this one repository. This is what you call a mono repo, where it's got a lot of stuff in one place. So I can choose which version of the app I want to deploy. Well, to do that, what we're going to do is go over into Static Web Apps here in the portal. And what we could do is type in Static Web Apps Preview. It'll find the Static Web Apps. And then we can click on Add in the upper left-hand corner. And that's going to bring us to a wizard where we can create the Static Web App. First, I have my subscription. And then I'm going to choose a resource group. This is just a place to put it. And then I'm going to give it a name. Let's call this Hello Build 2020. And then the region I'm going to choose is going to be East US, because that's where I'm located. And then I'm going to sign in with GitHub, because I want to be able to connect this to my GitHub repository. And then I'll choose my organization, because I have a few of these. I'll select my repository, which happened to be called Hello Build. And then we'll select the branch, which in this case, I'm going to choose Master. Now, at this point, I want to customize where my locations of my code are in the repository, so Azure knows where to find it. Remember, if we go back to the repository, my code is in Svelte App, in that folder. So now we're going to go back in here, and we're going to tell it the app location is under Svelte App. That way it knows what to deploy. Now, the API location, I'm going to type in Functions, because that's the folder where our functions will be. And then the app artifact location, there's a better way of saying this, right? It's basically where you build your assets. When I build my Svelte app, where do the built JavaScript bundles and HTML go? Well, in my Svelte app, it goes to a folder called public, like this. So now I can click review and create, and then it's going to give me a chance to review what I've done, and I'll click the create button. Now, Azure's going out there to deploy all the resources in the cloud that I need to support Azure Static Web Apps. And then once it's ready, it's going to let me know that you can go see the resource right here. And the resource is still in process. So we can see we've got a couple things on this screen. The blue bar at the top is telling us, great, thanks for using this, but we haven't quite got your URL for your website ready yet. Why? Because it's still running NPM run build. It just started. So we can click that link to go find out where it is. We'll do that in just a moment. But down below here, you can also see there's a URL, Ashy Mushroom. That is the URL of our website by default. We can go check it out. And we can see we got links into the GitHub repository to look at our GitHub action runs and the workflow file that got generated so we can build our app. So let's go look at the repository by clicking on the top button. Notice we have a yellow circle running next to our workflow. That means it's currently building our workflow. While it's doing that, we can click on it to see what's happening. Now, let's open up the workflow file right here. This was a file that got created by Azure. And down here on line 27, you'll notice there's app location. That should look familiar because that's what we just typed in into the portal. This is where the source code is going to be. And then we have the API location on line 28. So let's go look at our repo real quick. We can see we have a folder for app, Svelte app. And then, our functions are not in a folder called functions, they're in one called API. So when I go look at the workflow, the functions are looking in the wrong place. So let's see what happens to the build. Over here on the left, it says build with a green check mark, everything was succeeded. But what happened is it actually deployed the HTML, JavaScript, and CSS, but it couldn't find the functions, so it just skipped that part. If we go back to the portal, and we're gonna fix this, we can now click on our URL, Ashy Mushroom. So I just like saying that, Ashy Mushroom. So now we can see our application has been deployed to the URL, Ashy Mushroom, up here in the address bar. So what do we get? We've got our app, and we know that if we click on list, we're not going to see any data because I messed up. I didn't type in the right functions folder, right? But we can still see the app got deployed. And then up here, we can see we have SSL certificate assigned to our website. But I promised that you can set up custom domains. So how would you bring your own custom domain and set it up? Well, let's flip over to the baked version of our application. I have a final version at www.shopathome.dev. And notice I brought that custom domain and I have a SSL certificate that was automatically assigned to this site. So how did I get that? Well, let's go look at the final version inside of Azure. Over here on the left, I can see custom domains. We'll click on that. And then we can see that I've already assigned www.shopathome.dev to it. So that's how I assigned it. Let's say I wanted to do that to our new Hello Build one. I can click on custom domains. I can click add. And then it's two steps. The first one is go to your DNS provider and type in this information. It's right on the screen of what you have to do. Set up a CNAME that points to Ashy Mushroom. And then you type in your custom domain down here in this text box. You validate it. And as long as it can find it in DNS, sometimes takes a little bit, then it'll automatically be ready and you click add and you've got a custom domain with an SSL cert hooked up to your website. So back to our app. We know we have to fix the functions. Let's go do that together. But one other thing that's really unique to Angular, React, and Vue, and Svelte is when you have client-side routing in your apps, you need fallback routes. Notice I have /products in the URL in the address bar. If I refresh this page or give somebody a link directly to this, what's going to happen? It's going to look for a products page on the server. Well, there is no products page on the server. So I'm going to get a 404, just like this. Well, that's no good. So we need to set up a fallback route for our application. Let's go see how you do that. Back in VS Code, now we can see our code is here. I need to do a git pull to pull down the latest workflow file because I didn't have that. So I'm going to use git pull inside of VS Code, which is a baked-in command. And you'll see automatically will appear the GitHub workflows, and then there's my file. So in this file, we should see the familiar lines down here, 27 and 28, for the Svelte app and functions. Now, before we change this, I don't want to take down our production site. So I want to set up a staging site. So how can I do that? Well, let's create a new branch, and I'll use the git commands in VS Code to do this. I'm going to create a new branch called API. And in this branch, I'm going to change functions to point to the API folder, because as you can see on the left, that is actually where the Azure functions are. If I open it up, you can see them right here. Now, it's going to point to Svelte app, API, and public. Great. But I also want to fix that fallback route. So remember, in the Svelte app, the public folder is where the built assets go. That's what gets deployed. So this is a place where I'm going to put a special file called routes.json. Routes.json is a file that Azure Static Web Apps looks for so it can control the server-side routes. So what we want to do is set up a fallback route so if we see a page that doesn't exist in the server, we don't 404 it. Instead, we return back the client app so the client app can look to see is that a valid route or not. So I'm going to go ahead and type in a fallback route here. And on line 4, it says, if anything's not found, serve index.html with a status code of 200. So now all I have to do is commit these changes for a fallback and API. I can then push these up to GitHub. That's a new branch. Now if we go back over to GitHub, we'll take a look at our pull requests. We could create a pull request here or back in VS Code. I'd like to look at it here because it shows you now I can make a pull request for the API branch. We're going to click on create pull request. And then a couple things are going to happen. Remember, our workflow file is watching the master branch. So if any changes have to master, it's going to kick off that action. And you can see down there, a comment was just added. It sees that the action sees that the master branch has a pull request against it. So it's going to go and build this new branch for APIs in the fallback route. Well, instead of waiting for that one, it only takes a minute. Let's go look at the final app again. In the final app, we have the Svelte version. Well, let's say that I wanted a staging version to show me a view version of the app, because remember, I have multiple versions. Well, right here, I've got the view version of the app running, and the URL shows me commmos, that's the URL I have for my production app, without the custom domain, and then number 4, because that's the number for the pull request, and then East US2, which is the region it was deployed in. And we can see here, now my data and APIs are connected. And if I refresh, you'll see that the page does not 404, it shows the products link once again, right here. So now I've got my APIs and I've got my fallbacks. Let's take stock on what we've done. We've built our app and we've deployed the API. And what did we get for it? We got our code pushed up with global scale. We have our custom domains that we learned how to set up with an SSL certificate. We've got our Azure functions for APIs. We created a pull request that then generated a staging site that we can go check out a preview URL. And we got full CI/CD with our GitHub actions. But what about authentication and authorization? Let's go add and see what we have to do to get that next. So back in VS Code, remember, we've got this file called routes.json. We want to add authentication first. What is authentication? It's that I know and the app knows that you are who you say you are. I want to make sure I know that. So to do that, I need to work with an authentication provider. There are five that work out of the box with Azure Static Web Apps: Twitter, Google, Facebook, Azure Active Directory, and think Google, GitHub. There we go. So we've got all of those we have to set up in the application. And once we do that, there we go. We want to add this to the routes up here. Now I want to add this before the fallback. This fallback route has to happen last. So I want to add some routes for authentication to block a couple of those providers. Why? Because maybe five is just too many options. So here what I'm doing is using EasyAuth, we've got these URLs. The route says Facebook or Google, we're going to return a 404. Just because I only want to give the users three choices: Twitter, GitHub, or Azure Active Directory. So now, if I commit this and push it, it'll automatically build and work in the authentication. But let's go one step further. Let's say that I don't want any users in the site to see any data unless they're authenticated. Well, I want to set up restrictions in the routes. So let's set up a few restrictions and see what they do. So in my restrictions, I've got a couple here. On line 12, I'm saying that if you go to API discounts, you can only get in if you have the preferred role. This is authorization. So now you have to be logged in and have a preferred role assigned to you. We'll see how to set those roles up. Well, we don't want people to see discounts unless they're logged in and they're preferred customers, but we also don't want them to change data. So I have all of my changed routes, my CRUD, my creations or deletions or updates set up to API/X. So again, you've got to be preferred to change the data. But if you're not those and you're going to see the data, like going to look at your shopping list, anybody can look at the shopping list as long as they're authenticated. So authenticated is just you've logged in with one of the providers. So now I commit this and I push it up. Let's go look at how these roles and the authentication works in the final app. So we're back in the Svelte app up at shop@home.dev. Notice I'm not logged in. Over on the left, I've got all five providers listed and I can click on any one. First, let's see what happens if I click on Facebook because I had blocked that one. So when I block it, it says, oops, you got a 404. And I can customize this page to look like whatever I want. So it's showing that we don't support that particular one today because we chose not to. But let's choose Twitter. And to show that Twitter works, we'll go to the list first and see that I'm currently unauthorized because I'm not authenticated. But if I choose Twitter, it's going to authenticate me with Twitter, bring me back to the app, and then it's going to go get my list of data. Wonderful. And it even shows me my authentication information in the bottom left. John_Papa is my Twitter handle. Now, if I go to discounts, remember, only preferred customers can see that. If I click on discounts, I'm not authorized. So how do you create this role? Let's go look at the final app inside of Azure, and you'll notice there's role management on the left. So when I click on role management, you can see there are only two users right now who are in the preferred role. It's John Papa on GitHub and my good friend Simona, who's also from GitHub. So here we can see that with GitHub, if either one of us logs in, we have a preferred role. How do you set these up? You click invite, you choose your authentication provider, and for example, let's say I want to add my daughter, Madeline Papa. I can choose her GitHub handle, and I can choose a preferred role, and I can give her 12 hours to click on the invitation, and then I generate it, I give her the URL, and she clicks it, and she's accepted. So what does that do? Remember, I'm allowed in GitHub, so let's go look at the Svelte app. Let's log out. And I'm going to log in as GitHub. It's going to go over to GitHub, authenticate me, come back. Notice the bottom left, it says, welcome John Papa from GitHub. That's my user ID. And now I can see the discounts, I can see the lists, and I can even go edit the information if I want to. So back in our application, we built all this stuff up to deploy the app and the API. And now we added in route-based control on the server with routes.json, authentication with our authentication providers, and we set up our roles. We got all of this stuff, because remember, you just wanted to publish your app just by using Azure Static Web Apps. So what did we really do? The basic thing that boils down to here is you get a single, unified workflow with GitHub Actions, which is great. And optionally, if you have Azure Functions for your APIs, they just work, which is great. And you get integrated authentication and flexible role-based authorization. Now, you're probably like me and you want to try this for yourself. You want to not watch me do it, but you want to do it. So you can build this app yourself or your own app by following our resources up at the Microsoft Docs. We have over a dozen docs up there that you can look and see everything you need to do. And if you want to try it yourself, you can build a Gatsby app, Angular, React, Svelte, Vue, exactly what you just saw here, by following our hands-on tutorial at Microsoft Learn from one of these links. And you can build an app that looks like one of these. But now it's time for questions, and I want to welcome Daria on so she can help me answer questions from you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Daria Kikoriu, and thank you, John, for this fantastic presentation. And thank you all for tuning in to learn about static web apps. We have quite a few questions coming in, so thank you so much for engaging with those. I will go through the questions together with John now. One of the questions that we get is, how is this different from the previous storage account offer that was available to host static websites? And I just want to point out to you that the fantastic option to host in Azure Storage for static content is still available. And the difference that you should take note of is here with static web apps, we provide a unified workflow that really takes you from your source code to global high availability. Everything is managed entirely for you. And all of the different configuration aspects that John walked through are available for you at the simple click distance. So I hope that answers the question. Please keep them coming if you need more details for that one. The next question that we have here is about function programming language support. Specifically, how come the Azure functions are limited to JavaScript and TypeScript? And what about C# support? So just wanted to mention that this is our public preview launching with a limited scope, and we will definitely continue to look into supporting additional stacks. But we are really, really focused on enabling developers to use their language skills across the full stack, from the front end to the back end. And we wanted to make sure that developers can be productive across those two and reusing their skills. Another question is about Azure DevOps. So we talked a lot about GitHub, and I think that's a question that John gets a lot.
Yeah.
So at this point, we don't support Azure DevOps. We support GitHub and GitHub Actions in a deep integration with the product.
And this is a preview of the product, right? This is the first day. You're the first one seeing this out there. So these are great questions. And please, if you've got more feedback like this, just keep coming at us and we'll figure out what things will work best for you.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for letting us know what you're interested in. Another question is about SSL certs. Just to make sure, do we get free and automatic SSL certs when we add a custom domain to our Azure Static Web App? I think John already answered. He's nodding his head. Do you want to actually respond, John?
Yes, yes, yes. Could I be any clearer? This is wonderful because it's been one of the pain points for me in the past is getting an SSL cert as a developer. Maybe I don't know how to get one or where to buy it or do I have to buy it? It's actually automatically set up for you, which to me is just incredible.
Thank you, John. The next question we have is about Blazor WebAssembly. And Blazor WebAssembly is a product that we know and love. And the question is, will this support Blazor WebAssembly? The answer is similar to the one that we just talked about. We really want our developers to be productive across the front end and the back end. We want to look into enabling full stack experiences, and we're very happy to learn about the interest, and this is something that we're looking into for our next steps. One more question here is about the cost. So the question has a few different parts. So let's address the first one first. Our preview today is launching with a free plan, and we're so excited to let you know that you will be able to try this out in public preview at no cost for hosting the static content. And it's our privilege to be able to offer that to you so that we can get your feedback and learn from you and evolve this as we move towards general availability. The second part of this question is talking about how a customer would be able to offer this to a small business client. So because today the public preview is available as a free plan, we will just take that question as feedback since there are no charges to estimate right now. And we will make sure that as we reach general availability, we will account for it. Another one is about Apex domains. So this one is something that we absolutely are interested in evolving the product to support, and we will continue to look into it.
And we should say, Daria, my main interruption, there is a way to make Apex domains work today that I believe Burke Holland is publishing out there on a social media, but you're right. We have some better things in mind, don't we?
Yes, and as John pointed out, we have a lot of resources to help you get started and to address all the different scenarios that you might need to address to make sure that this actually works for you. We have a few more questions, and I think we'll take a couple more. Is it global that by default? John, do you want to answer this one?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Is it global by default? It's asking about global availability.
Absolutely, yes. You don't have to tell it. You don't have to ask, please. You don't have to say it nicely. You could just say, give me, and it will give it to you. You get your global availability. I believe it's to at least 5 points of presence around the world. Is that right, Daria?
Yes.
Yes. Which is great, because then even though I deploy to the East region for me, if you're in Australia, there should be a server near you to make it global for you as well.
Thank you. And then one more question here about setting up custom authentication with another provider. So right now we have shared app registration through the set of providers that we support out of the box. This is a part of being focused on a free plan right now. But we definitely understand that this is something that for a production grade application might be interesting. And I'm checking really quick if we can take one in the last minute here.
I have a question, Dari, if you don't mind me asking, because we've gotten this one a lot, so I think we should share with folks. A lot of people ask, do I have to run npm run build? Can I customize? Maybe I want to call it something else. And there's a setting in the workflow file that you can add to tell it to run whatever command you want. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So feel free to deviate from npm run build. If your company likes a different name, go for it.
And also keep in mind that part of the value of having the workflow available in your own GitHub repo is that you own it and you mm-hmm. have the freedom to customize. Okay. Most of the questions that we have left are not 1 minute long. So I think at this point, we would have to ask you to please continue this conversation. Please try our docs, try our learn modules, and also please engage with us through the GitHub repo. We want to hear all of these questions and more, and we want to be able to answer each and every single one of them.
Thank you so much, Daria, and thank you everybody for joining us. And if you have questions, reach out. Definitely check out Learn and Docs, and we're here for your questions.
Thank you so much, everyone.